I've just got it on my beautiful tie that I put on specially for you guys this morning, so I need to make sure it was at the right level. Okay, let me just say a couple of wee words about myself quickly before we talk about this whole parable of the lost son, one of those great parables in the Bible. My name's Andrew Brannigan. It was said before, I'm also called Brandy. I've got to say this everywhere I go, just in case there's any worry out there at all. The brandy just comes from the name Brannigan and doesn't come from either any alcoholic beverage or dog food, which would be even worse. So you get out of the way very quickly, just in case there's any worry out there. I work in the diocese of Downingtown-Moore. I do, basically. You're all my bosses, basically. So you'll be pleased to know I work for the diocese and the bishop and for you. And it's a real privilege to be here this morning and share a wee bit of God's word with you. I became a Christian when I was 14. I didn't really come from a Christian family, although some of my family now have come to faith, which is brilliant. And I just decided at 14 years of age I wanted to kind of follow God, be a Christian, and I've never looked back. Praise God for it. He's been in my life ever since I've asked him. And I'm going to challenge you guys on that a little bit this morning too. And I've got three daughters and a wife. It comes in very handy with the daughters thing too. And a lovely wee house in Ballyclare, which is beautiful, apart from the fact there's only one bathroom. You know, first world problems, but I've got three daughters and they're coming into teenage years, some of them. Okay, so let's pray and we'll get underway. Dear Lord, thank you for your word. And thank you for this great story that we've been learning about this morning, the parable of the lost son. Open our hearts and minds to it, that whatever we get from it, we can put into everyday use for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're going to retell the story this morning, just for over a few minutes. And I wonder if anybody here ever, like the lost son, thought about running away from home. Don't put your hand up or anything like that there. Just an internal question. I did this once in a church and about 20 husbands put their hand up at the back. And it wasn't good for Sunday lunch, right? So anybody, you know, you've had an argument, you've had a fight, brother or sister's annoyed you, you have done what I did over 5 years ago. I broke my wife's really favorite tea mug. And I just thought, maybe I should just run out of the house and not come back for a few months. And a true story, my friend Paul Brown, when he was just a kid, he ran away from home because I thought that would be a good laugh. But he came back literally within about 45 minutes because he ran out of chocolate biscuits and came back. This story today is obviously about a son, father and his two sons, and one of them that runs away from home. And we're going to retell it a wee bit and we're going to do it slightly differently because in this bag down here, this is an Iceland bag, but you need to know that there are other reputable supermarkets out there. In this bag, we're going to retell this story, the parable of the lost son. And we're going to do it with chocolate bars, and sort of biscuity, chocolatey bar things, but you'll get this as we go along. And I'm going to retell the story, and every now and again in this story, there will be the name of a chocolate bar that crops up. Now, because I have access to the bishop's credit card, I've been able to buy the said chocolate bars here. And if you guess what the chocolate bar is before we get to it, you get to keep the chocolate bar, okay? And this story applies to everybody, apart from you guys that are up in the balcony, because I'm just never going to get the chocolate bar to you unless I wing it. I could hit somebody in the head and claim and all that sort of stuff. So this applies to everybody. You guys can guess, but you're not going to get the chocolate bar. So the only guys that are going to win anything are going to be you folk down here. There's rules for this. When I come to part of the story that you think there's going to be a chocolate bar mentioned, you've got to put your hand up, okay? You can't shout it out, okay? The second rule is this. If you're really good at this sort of stuff, you can't guess like multiple times and leave with 20 chocolate bars, okay? That's not going to happen. And the third rule is, it's a very important rule, you can't start munching into some sort of chocolate bar in the middle of the service, right? You've got to take it home with you and have it either after your lunch or just, you know, whenever you want. It's up to you, but not in the service, okay? Because if I'm like talking for 5 minutes and somebody's, I keep nearly saying the actual name of the chocolate bar as I do it, but if someone munches into a chocolate bar in the middle of the service, I'll get into trouble. Does that sort of make sense? Right, the rules, this is sort of open to everybody as well, young and old, where you're sitting, and we'll see how we get on here. I do this in various different places and with mixed success. To a point. Okay, right. Okay, let's see how this works. Okay, this is a wee tester to see how it goes at the start. So the subject of this story is about a father and his two sons. And you could say that it's not just the subject of the story. These guys are really the Topic, yes, yes. That never works. Nobody ever gets the topic. I'm so pleased with myself. You win the topic. You've won something for the first time in your life, right? Okay. See how this works? Usually I get to take the topic home with me, but there's one more chance because I'm going to Marilyn later on and maybe nobody will get it there and I'll be able to eat munches on the way home. Okay. The topic of the story is about a father and his two sons. The younger one gets fed up living at home, gets fed up having to do the whole farm work and working for his dad and everything else. He thinks his dad is really uncool. He thinks his dad is so boring that he's just a real, you have to be older to get this, from the 70s. He's so uncool. His dad's a real, I could be taking this home with me today. No, his dad's not a real curly whirly. But hold that thought. Is that like from the 50s or something? We just call people that. His dad is so unscoot. He's a real square, right? My pocketbook's right there. Okay. You see, in those days, it wasn't like today where you maybe didn't get your inheritance money until somebody died. You could go then and claim it and say, Dad, can I have a claim on all of this money? You see, the son thought that he was far too clever for his dad in doing this. In fact, the son thought that he was a real smarty right at the back. Right? I have to run all the way down here to do this. Right? The son thought that he was a real smarty. Right? So he decided to get away from his family, to take a break from them, to get some time away by himself. So he wanted a time out. Right? All right, Basil. There's another person who's won something for the first time. Okay. All right. So he takes some time out. He goes on a big, long journey. In those days, it wouldn't have been just like today. It wouldn't have been just as safe for us. He was going through some wild territory. And so he had to be really careful and watch out in case there were any wild... Oh, shout it out. What, any? Lions, yes. Right. Had to be careful in case there were any lions about. Right, here. I'm going to throw it over. There you go. Right. And also, he had to walk on the journey. He couldn't just catch himself. Any hands? Not a taxi. A big old... Yeah. No, might have been a wagon wheel on it. Double decker, right? A bit disappointed. I do like the old double deckers. Yes, right? He couldn't just get himself a double decker. He had to walk the whole way there. So eventually, he spends all his money on all sorts of wild nonsense until he runs out of money. Pretty soon, it's all gone. He doesn't have a penny left to his name. He doesn't even have a... Now, I'm not giving it to you because you shouted out for... Right? Dime will do. Yes, I heard that. Dime. Right? I thought the rules were simple here. You know, put your hands up. You know, and then, right? Okay, didn't even have a dime. So the money doesn't last very long. He ends up wandering from place to place with no money. He becomes a real... Goes from place to place. Drifter, well done. He becomes a real drifter. I am completely running out of... Oh, hey, wait. That's okay. I'm gonna give you the Milky Ways at the moment because the drifter's been left in my car by accident. Marilyn's going to get two drifters and no Milky Way. Right, that's okay. There's the next ones will work. Right? He becomes a real drifter and eventually he gets a job feeding pigs. And one day while he's looking at the pigs with their tails all... Hands, folks, hands. Right. Curly whirly, right? Oh, too high, right? Curly whirly. Right. He decides that he will come to his senses and he'll go back and he'll speak to his dad. So he makes his decision, looking at the pigs, looking up into the night sky, where he catches a glimpse of... Not the Milky Way, because I've just given that away. But he catches a glimpse of, over there, not the galaxy, the planet Mars. There you go. Don't be eating that during the sermon. You won't have your lunch. Right? The planet Mars, and he sets off to find his dad again. And again, it's a long journey on the way back, so every now and again, he needs to have a break and have a Kit Kat. Yes. I don't even know who shouted that out there, but you had your hand up first, so you can have it. Right? He has a Kit Kat on the way back. So the father, when he sees him, and we heard this in the story this morning, he doesn't lose the bap or anything like that there. The father runs out to get hold of him. He hugs him. And in those days, to show that you were part of the family again, he gets this big old coat, big fancy coat, puts it on him, and the coat's got all these lovely things to fasten it at the front. What is it? Yes, it is buttons. It's buttons. Well done. We're nearly there. We're nearly there. We're running out. Well done. It's buttons. And the father, as well as doing the whole thing with the coat, and he puts a ring on his finger, he also has a big giant feast to celebrate, and they kill the fatted calf and so on. But in those days, you know, it's a lovely part of the world. The weather would have been good, so they would have just had this whole feast as a picnic. Yes. There you go. There you go. And this is the last one. The younger son then comes. He finds out the whole big giant feast picnic stuff is happening. And he's cross. And so he gets to the point where he says, Dad, I've been really good. I've done all of this stuff. I've never had all of this feast. I've never had all these things. So the father brings him close. And he says to him in a soft voice. In fact, so soft. What? So soft. I'm just going to throw a random whisper in here and hope that it's caught. Very good, very good. So soft, the father says to him in a soft voice, Son, all I have is yours. But this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. I'm going to do two quick talks at the end of that to illustrate this. One for children and one for young people and adults. And the children's one is this, children. Whenever you do something wrong, like the lost son, you go against your parents' wishes, you go against God's wishes, and you get something wrong, the thing to do is to go to your mom or your dad and to tell them what you've done wrong and to say you're sorry. You don't keep it to yourself. You don't make it a big secret. You don't hide it away like it'll never be discovered. You go to them and you say, I'm sorry. And your mom and dad are patient and loving. It's why you're still here. And they will forgive what you've done, and they will move on, and they will try to make it better. And if they don't forgive what you've done when you've been properly sorry, remind them of the parable of the lost son and the loving father. But whatever you do, don't ask for a pardon, because you've done something wrong. But secondly, children, the other thing to say, the other person to say sorry to is God. God misses you. God loves to spend time with you. God loves to hear your voice in the morning when you wake up, and he loves to hear your voice saying good night when you go to bed. My youngest daughter, Grace, lost her teddy bear last weekend. She loves this teddy. This wee teddy's about this size here, and the teddy goes with her everywhere. It goes in her pocket when she goes into school. She makes clothes for her teddy. When she's going to bed at night, teddy's in her wee hand. And she lost, to be honest with you, she loses teddy quite a lot. I feel like getting a big chain and just attaching it to her coat. And she lost teddy last weekend, and we could not find teddy for 3 days. We searched everywhere for it. We had been in people's houses. We got them to look. We searched the car. We did whatever. And for two nights, she went to bed crying every night because she missed her wee teddy so much. And eventually, my wife, who's the best person in our house with the looking skills, she went into the bedroom and cleared out absolutely everything in this bedroom. Took every toy out, every cupboard. And eventually, in a little tin with some bits and pieces of Lego and other assorted 7-year-old stuff, there was Teddy. And I come home that night, and there was a special celebratory dinner place for Teddy at the table when I came home. She got me to take a picture of her with Teddy, and I'm not even joking, folks, put it into a frame. So there's now a framed picture of my daughter and Teddy, and she said, you know, Dad, whenever I'm like an old granny, I'm just going to look back and go, do you remember when we were young, Teddy? Do you remember when we were young together? When I'm 99, Dad. And she is full of joy that Teddy was lost, kids, at all of us, and is now found. And children, God wants to spend time with you. He misses you. He wants to hear your voice. He wants you to say sorry, and he wants to be in your life. Let me say a couple of words to the rest of us, the older ones, teenagers, adults, and, you know. And this is about forgiveness, this story. It's about so many things, but it's forgiveness I want to just focus on for a few minutes. I don't know any of you here that are married or we're brothers or sisters, ever. If you ever argue, and don't put your hands up, don't put your hands up again, don't do that thing, right? My wife and I sometimes argue. Who would have believed that I'm such a genteel sort of guy? And we argue, and from time to time. And one day, I love telling this story, but let's make this a circle of trust if we could, so it doesn't get back to my wife. One day, we had an argument about the washing machine. Now, for some of the gentlemen here, the washing machine is the magic machine that you put clothes into and they come out clean and so on, that sort of thing. And I did washing from time to time. And as I did every time in the left-hand compartment, I put in the magic powder stuff that makes it clean, put it all on, and got my clothes washed. And after a while, my wife noticed me doing this one day, and she said, you don't put the powder in the left-hand compartment, you put it in the middle compartment. And I said, no, you don't. I've been doing this for years. You know, well, my clothes have always been fine. It goes in the left-hand compartment. And that, you know, that became a big old rye, right? That became this big old argument. You put it in the middle. No, you put it in the left. You put it in the middle. I've been doing it for years. I know, just because you do it, but so on and so forth. And so, eventually, I went away for about half an hour and tried to find the washing machine instruction manual. Because if an argument needs to be settled properly, and my wife is going to find out that it's in the left-hand compartment, and I'm going to forgive her, but she's going to find out, and we're going to get it sorted, and she's going to know, you know, who's anyway. And so there we were, and I got it out and put it in front of her, I said, okay, here it is, here's the section, right, here's the section, blah, blah, blah. And with all my being, I would love to tell you that manual said, left-hand compartment. I would love, part of me is worried about the fact that I think for about 4 years I was putting powder into a compartment that didn't wash the clothes for me, but anyway. And there it was, middle compartment. And I looked at my wife when we found this out, and do you ever have moments where for about 2 seconds nothing happens, but in that 2 seconds you can do 15 minutes worth of thinking, right? I thought about, is there a fault? Is the manual wrong? Is there, should I fake a heart attack? What could I do to not say, I am wrong and you are right? We're all logical, you know, all illogical options disappeared. I had to say, you're right, Lynn, and I'm wrong. And she just gave me a wee smile, which was 99% love and 1%, I'm so glad you've got this wrong. And said, it's okay, it's fine. You know, it's like burning coals were heaped in my head. And forgive me. Now, why do you tell this story? I tell this story really for two quick reasons. The first is this. It's really hard to say sorry. It's hard to say sorry when you've got pride. It's hard to say sorry, dare I say it, maybe for a lot of blokes here. I find it hard to say sorry, to admit that I'm wrong, and to have to rely on somebody else's forgiveness. It takes a little bit of courage to say you're sorry, and it takes a good dose of humility to say you're sorry. But folks, it needs to be done. It's right, and it's good, and it's proper to do it. And if you, whether it's this morning, or whether it's 10 years ago, have done something that you know, because it, it's sitting in your heart a wee bit, you know you've got to say sorry, and you haven't done it, then you need to do what the lost son did when he was sitting looking after the pigs, and the Bible says he came to his senses. It didn't matter that the lost son was stupid. It didn't matter that he'd wasted everything else. It didn't matter the nonsense that he got up to. What mattered was that he came to his senses. And folks, and the corollary of that is this. It doesn't matter what good stuff you do. And it doesn't matter how nice you are to other. To see if you can't come to your senses and say to others around you and to God, I'm sorry, because your pride's getting in the way. You're worse than the lost son. Don't hold on to some good deeds and think you don't have to say sorry. You do. The Bible says in 1 John 1:8, if we say we're without sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I have the privilege of going around here and speaking to all manner of people, the vast majority of whom I have no idea what their lives are like or whatever. But I'll tell you something I probably do know. That there are at least a few, maybe several people sitting here right now that are in church and they like maybe being with people, and they maybe like that their kids are here and involved, or they maybe like just being with others and being welcomed. But they're sitting here, and it could be you, and you're not thinking about what actually is the key reason for going to church. And it's to hear that there is some sin in our life. There is stuff that separates you and I from Jesus Christ. And if we say that we don't have it, we're just deceiving ourselves. But if we do confess to God the stuff that we've done wrong, he is faithful and just and will forgive us that sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, which means that you and I, from this moment on, the moment we say to God, forgive me, please, Lord, live in my heart, help me to be a Christian, from that moment on, all unrighteousness today and tomorrow and the day after is gone, and that we live with him in heaven. That's my challenge for you and I of all ages today. To take whatever it is that separates us from God, to put the pride away from the moment and just say, God, forgive me. And if you want to do that today, again, I don't know who you are. If you want to, even at the end of the service, have a chat with me for a minute, to be prayed with, or anybody else, just do it. Thank you for your patience and listening. I'm going to pray now, and when I'm doing that, the band will come up and they'll take us through the next song. So let's pray together. And dear Lord, we just place before you even now this stuff that separates us from you. And Lord, we do ask that you would help us with that, that you would help us to say sorry, that you would, as you promise, Lord, forgive us when we do say sorry. And help us, Lord, to be forgiving to those around us. Draw us close to you, Lord. Bless us and bless this word to our everyday lives and to your glory. In Jesus' name.